Hear now the word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Beginning at verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, and if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Amen. The gospel still works. The gospel still works. We've had a lot of conversation lately about Michael Brown, about Eric Garner, about their tragic deaths, about the youngster out in Cleveland, about scores of other young men and young women who've been senselessly murdered. But I have not heard one word about their eternal resting place. When they got killed, did they just die and were they just buried? Did they go to heaven or did they go to hell, or does it matter where they went? The Bible teaches us that there is a heaven and a hell. And we don't expect the mayor of Missouri or the governor of Missouri, or we don't expect the governor of New York or the mayor of New York City to get up and start talking about, you know, these young men were killed. And did they go to heaven or did they hell? But we ought to expect the church to say something. We ought to expect that some preacher somewhere, some church somewhere, ought to begin to wonder. I know they died too soon, but I just wonder, did they have a relationship with God? Do we really believe in heaven anymore? I mean, is this the best to get, Hackensack? The gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel. All I have today is an old-fashioned sermon. Some of you are not going to like it, but if you've ever been lost, you know that the gospel is good news. If anybody ever walked out on you and you are miserable and you just didn't think you wanted to live anymore, if anybody's ever abused you, and if you've ever lost your job and almost lost your mind, and somehow you came to church one Sunday and you just heard the choir saying, "Hold on." And if you've ever been in the poor way, it was the right word at the right time that changed your mind, you can surely say the gospel still works. Here it is in this text. Paul is preaching to the church at Corinth. Church of Corinth had been distracted from their purpose. They were involved in sexual immorality. They had lost focus as to the fundamentals of the gospel. You know, the church of Corinth is no different than the church today. We can do a lot of good things and lose our primary focus. Do I have a witness? I mean, we just did a great thing. We just did a great thing for our children. We acknowledge our children, but it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible to get your children's report cards. As good as it is, my primary primary focus is to make sure that our children know something about Jesus Christ. I mean, that's our primary. We never want to forget. We do other things, but we never want to forget the primary. And the church can lose focus as to what we're in business for. And so Paul says to the church of Corinth, you know, he says, I give to you what I've received. Paul says, all I am is a mailman. All I have, I'm on a heavenly delivery program. And what I have is first class mail. And he says, I give to you what I have received. Have you ever seen an arrogant mailman, a mailwoman? I haven't. I mean, most of the male people that I see, male person, male or female, they're just doing their job. They just, you know, they don't even talk to you too much. I got mail to deliver. I ain't got time for no conversation on a sunny day. I got to keep stepping. And so Paul says, listen, I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. Remember that song 136? I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. And I've come, I only come for one purpose. I came to give you the message that I got from Christ. That's what the church is all about. We need the good news of Christ. I don't know if Michael Brown ever went to church. I don't know if Eric Gardner ever went to church. But I know that there are young men and young women in Hackensack and everywhere else that needs the gospel. I know there are people who are stuck in lifestyles that's miserable and that's thinking about suicide and that's taking drugs and that's got themselves so deep in a certain situation that they don't feel that they can ever get out of it again, and they need some preacher to stand up somewhere and say, Jesus is the way out. Jesus is the way through. Jesus can turn your situation around. Listen. I'm so messed up, Jesus can't help me. Yes, he can. The gospel is the good news. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. And you know, if I would ask you, what's the worst problems we have in the world today? Matter of fact, why don't you help me out? Just look at your neighbor and say, what's your issue? I know you got one. What's your issue? Now, you don't have to tell them the answer unless you want to. I mean, it's just a question because, you know, y'all look good. You know, y'all look like you got everything going on. But you and I have got issues. And if I ask you, what's the worst problem in the world, some would say, the worst problem is greed and materialism and poverty and sexuality or sexism, homosexuality. Some would say, climate control, population explosion, voter suppression, black-on-black crime, police brutality, homelessness, housing problems. Everybody, look at somebody. Everybody got a problem. There's all kind of issues out there. But the worst problem in the world, I would submit to you, is none of these. The worst problem is sin. Because you might not have a housing problem, but you definitely got a sin problem. You might not have a voter suppression problem, but you and I, look at somebody and say, all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short. Preachers have fallen short. Deacons, everybody in here have sinned. And fallen short. And the good news that I want you to know is Christ died for you. He died for your sins. He died for my sin. And the Bible says he died, he was buried, and he rose again. And it's not just that he took our deepest problem, but he conquered our deepest enemy. And our deepest enemy is death. I'm so glad that he rose from the grave. And if he can rise from the grave, that means he can handle anything that comes to. Do I have a witness in here? The last enemy is death. And we live in this sinful world. We don't talk about sin anymore. Phobias and all kinds of things we talk about, but we don't talk about sin. We don't like to call it sin. But you and I are born in sin, shaped in iniquity. The best one in here, rich people sin. And you know what I don't like about American society? Because American society want us to believe that only poor folk are sinners. They want to dirty us because we're poverty stricken and because we don't have as much as some corporate executive have. And those jokers can get away with stealing the whole world while we can't even get a loaf of bread. And they make us feel like we are less than them. I got news for you. You are not less than anybody. God created you just the way you are. And if you might not have as much money as somebody else, you still are a child of God. Makes me sick. Help me, Holy Ghost. The way some of these corporate executives look down upon my mother, who never made $10,000 a year in her life. And I would say she is as good as anybody else if they make millions of dollars every single year. In fact, I'd say she treats people better than some of those corporate executives. They are making millions and getting mad at somebody who wants a 10 cents an hour raise. Something is wrong with that. Greed. Lust for power. We have lust for the eye, but you know, we always talk about people who are lusting in their heart sexually, but what about people who are lusting for power and don't mind taking your life just to get a little bit more? That's look at somebody and say, that's lust too. I don't know what your problem. I don't know what your main problem is. I doubt that anybody said, well, what's your issue? I doubt anybody would say, well, you know, my real issue is sin. I doubt that. Anybody say that? You know, you probably say, well, you know, my real issue is, you probably didn't say nothing, but you know. But our real issue behind the scenes is sin. Sin dwells within us. When I would do good, evil is present. And how many of you know that sin always leads to death? The Bible says the wages of sin, gift of God, is eternal. Emotional death. Spiritual death. Psychological death. A physical death. But sin always leads to death. Anybody relate to the fact that you have been emotionally dead at one point? Maybe psychologically dead. And life had gotten you into a situation where you could not smile. You had no inner peace. You had no inner joy. You had gotten yourself in a relationship and you couldn't see your way through. You couldn't see your way out. You thought that you would be miserable for the rest of your life. But God somehow stepped in and set you free. Look at somebody and say, that's a resurrection. I was hemmed in, I was boxed in, I didn't see how I was going to make it out, but somehow I just kept on praying and I kept on trusting God. I didn't see how I was going to get through, but the Lord made a way. You know, we have some stuff going on the inside of us. You can't read a self-help book and fix some of the mess on the inside. Do I have a witness? I mean, a lot of times we know what we should do. We just ain't got the strength to do it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you can't, listen, you can't depend on Congress to legislate your conscience. I don't care who's in power. I don't care if it's the Republicans or the Democrats. There's some things You can't legislate yourself to happiness. And then there's some things, it doesn't matter how much money you got, you know, you can work 5 jobs and still be miserable. You can get yourself in a predicament that you and I will have to ask the question, who can deliver me from this body of sin? Al Sharpton can't deliver you. Barack Obama can't deliver you. God knows Governor Christie can't deliver you. Only the blood of the Lamb of God that can deliver you. Only I thank God for Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins. And the most important of that sentence is Christ died for. He didn't just die to die. Nobody took his life. He gave his life. He died for our sins. He died instead of us. He died as atonement for us. He took what should have been ours. He died for us. And that's why we ought to worship. Not only did Christ take upon himself our deepest problems, but he faced our deepest fears. Look at somebody and ask them, what are you afraid of? You know you're afraid of something. I told the congregation this morning, you know, like, I'm afraid of getting old. Some of you young people out there saying, too late, you're already old. It's not so much the age that I'm afraid of, but I'm afraid I don't want my mind to outlast my body. I was talking to somebody else. They said, listen, mine is the other way around. I don't want my body to outlast my mind. Talking to somebody else after the first service, they said, you know, Reverend, I don't want nobody crying at my funeral. That's what this person said to me. I said, I want at least one person crying at my funeral. I don't want to die and nobody shed a tear. I don't want to outlive all my mourners. I mean, I've been around here for 30 years. I've seen some funerals when ain't nobody here but the deceased. In fact, I had one funeral where nobody here, it was just me and the body. That's one of the few times that I rode in the hearse to the cemetery. Normally, I don't do hearses. Here's my other fear. I got some fears. Here's my other fear. I don't want to live as a Christian, and then when it gets down to the wire, my faith is not strong enough to hold me. I don't want to be up here preaching the word of God, and then I get sick, and you know, then I have to suffer, and then I start acting crazy. Like God, you know, I don't want that. I want to, you know, whatever comes, Deacon Hodge. If I'm sick or if I lose my church, if I lose my family, I want to have enough faith to say he at least believed what he talked about. I don't want to get down to the wire and start acting like I don't know God. But you know, we all have some fears. I don't know what your fear is, but I ain't got time for you to get them to tell me what your fear is. But I know you got some. I mean, you tough guys, you got some too. But two of our greatest fears, is most of us fear dying. You don't have to say amen. I know you do. Most of us fear dying. We fear death. And we fear burial. You know, people make a whole lot of money trying to figure out how they're going to bury you. I don't want to go in the ground. You're going somewhere. You know, I want to, you know, Barbara was talking to me not long ago, talking about, well, where you going to put my ashes? You going to put them in the living room? No. I'm going to sow them in the yard and look at the grass grow and say, look at that resurrection. I'm just kidding, Barbara, honey. We fear death, and not only do we fear death, we fear being buried because we don't want to be confined. We don't want to be boxed in. We don't want to be put in a situation where there's no way out and no way through. We don't like being confined. Do I have one witness in the house? I told the first congregation, you know, sometimes I go to these marches. I went to Montgomery or Selma, somewhere where March with Al Sharpton some years ago. Yeah. Big crowd of people walking. But I don't trust big crowds. I am not going to get in the middle of a march. I'm going to be on the sidelines. So that if anything breaks out, I'm walking with you. I'm with the cause. Where's Estina at? Estina, I ain't going to be down front in the march. I'm not going to be right behind Al Sharpton. I'm with you, Brother Al, but I figure if anything happens, they're coming at you first. I'm going to be on the sideline. So if you're looking for me on TV, don't look for me right behind the head guy. Look for me on the side. I'm just being as honest as I can. Because I don't like being boxed in. I know that once you get in the middle of that crowd, ain't nothing you can do. You got to move with the crowd. Do I have a witness in here? I'm my own man. I want to break out if I want to. Here it is. We fear being confined in. We fear being hemmed in. Shut off, shut down. We don't like being surrounded with no way out and no way through. We get anxious when life seems too close in on us. It seems as if we are going to be buried. We fear being buried and the fact that there's no coming back from this one. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt that there's no coming back from this one? You come back before, but you're in such a mess right now, there's no way to come back from this one. Well, there's no coming back from a marriage. There's some people who've been in a marriage that's so bad, they just said, listen, I got to get out of here because there ain't no way we're going to make this thing work. Is there any amens in the house? You feel that there's no coming back from this addiction. I'm so deep in this drug addiction. I'm so deep in this alcohol. There's no coming back from this one. There's no coming back from my relationship on my job. The boss is so mean. There's no way I got to get out of here because there's no way I'm coming back. I got some news for you. God can turn that thing around. Do I have a witness in here? I don't care what you're going through. God can turn that thing around. I'm talking about resurrection power. I'm talking about the power to stand you on your feet when you don't feel like standing on your feet. That God is able to, whatever has got you boxed in, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ is God is not through with you yet.
Oh, I know you had cancer, but God's not through. I know you had a stroke, Willie, but God is not through. I know you've been through some difficult times, but God is not through. The Lord is able to turn it around. Do I have one witness in the house? And you know what? People will always try to bury you too soon. You get a little difficulty and they try to bury you. You remember, you know, the times when we've had difficulty here at Mount Olive. So, well, you know,
My daughter's not going to make it another 3 years. Look at somebody 125 years old. You can't let people bury it too. I remember when I got here, you know, I was 33 years old, young guy. Really didn't know what I was doing. I thought I did, but didn't know much. But the Lord had grace on me anyhow. And I remember folks saying, well, he ain't never going to make 3 years. It's 30 years later. I'm still here. You can't let people bury it too soon. You remember when you were going, your marriage was in a mess. You know, and people always think they know more about your business than you do. they ain't gonna make it. And they done been divorced 5 times, and you still with the same person. You can't allow people to prematurely decide to put you in a grave somewhere. You know, you remember when your career was incorrectly, prematurely pronounced dead. You got laid off, and they thought, well, that's the end of her. That's the end of him. They just bought that house. They just got that new car, and now they lost their job. Oh, they are in a mess right now. But that's the time for you to trust God, because you don't allow them to put you in a grave too soon. You're just in a position for God to do an unusual thing. Do I have a witness in here? Nothing is too hard for God. He wakes you up in the morning. He can open doors for you. He can give you a better job than you used to have. And when you get that job, at least have the decency to go to his house and say, Lord, I just want to thank you one more time. I thought I was going to be gone, but thanks be to God that there's resurrection power, that he died. They buried him, but on the third day, he rose. And when he rose with all power in his head. Do I have a witness in the house? All power. It's good to know that when Jesus faces our deepest, when Jesus faces our deepest fear, he's got the power to change our burial situation. When we're boxed in, when we're shut down or confined, there's no level of confinement that Jesus can't reach. Jesus was killed. They buried him. He did. He died for us. They buried him, and they thought, that's it. And people will kill you with slander. And they will pronounce you dead while you're still alive. And most of us can deal with physical death better than we can deal with somebody trying to bury us while I'm alive. They don't like the fact that you got a new car. Think she's all the debt. Don't even say that, debt. They don't like your hairdo. They don't like your, you got some new shoes. Just hoeing around to get that. Killing you with words. You know that song about killing you softly? They ain't killing you softly. They're killing you harshly. And you let that mess go into your head. Shut it out. I got some good news for you. Here's the gospel. Here's the gospel. Anybody want to hear the gospel? Yes. He's able. Yes. He's able. He's able to do what, Rev? Whatever you need him to do, he's able. He's able to pick you up. He's able to turn you around. He's able to make a way out of nowhere. He's able to heal your body. He's able to heal your mind. He's able to do whatever you need him to do. On the third day, he got up. Yes. Now, sometimes you may have to wait on God. Yes. When you're going through, you want him to come on. Anybody ever been like, you want him to come on the first day?
Lord, I got a stroke today.
But sometimes you got to wait. And when you can't see God, that's my fear. I don't want to be a preacher all these years, for 40 or 50 years, and then something happens to me and I can't see God immediately. I don't want to start doubting God because I know there's people watching me. I want to be strong at the last. I know my Redeemer lives. Though you slay me, I'll trust you. The more you slay me, I'm going to trust you anyhow. I'm going to worship you. I don't understand why you're putting me through this, Lord. I tried to be a good husband. I tried to be a good father. I tried to be a good pastor. But, Lord, it seems like you have left me. But I'm going to trust you anyhow. I'm just going to wait on you because I just believe that in your own godlike time, you're going to show up and you're going to get the glory out of what I'm going. That's my testimony. I might have to go. I might have to look for Reverend Ella. Because I might get weak sometime. I don't want everybody else to know, but she's a grief counselor. I'll talk to her. Reverend, why am I going to? I don't want her to be like Job's friend and say, you know you sin. And I'm going to say, I know I sin. And what's the point? So did you, Rev. I want to trust him. That's the gospel. Look at somebody and say, though I don't deserve it, he loves me anyhow. Though I'm a bad child, he forgives me anyhow. Though I've messed up big time, he is long-suffering anyhow. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel that I wanted Michael Brown to hear. That's the gospel that I want all these young kids to hear. That to the utmost, Jesus saves. He can pick you up and turn you around. Jesus saves. When you're in the streets, he can turn you around. When you've been a bad child, he can turn you around. Good news. Sometimes at night, you know, for the most part, I'm a news junkie. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? But Barbara just gets so sick of it. You done heard that. Same thing. Over and over. But every now and then, Deaconess Coleman, I have to turn the news off. Because I get so angry, so mad. Deaconess Hodge, it almost makes me want to cuss. I know that fine. You find it hard to believe. Every now and then I got to turn it off. Because I don't want to go to bed that mad, that angry. I mean, you know, when you go to bed like that, you toss and turn in your own spirit. And sometimes, you know, I'm not fasting from food. I just want to fast from the news. Because all the news is bad news. But today I got some good news. He lives. He lives, and not only does he live, he's able to do what he said he would do. His word is trustworthy. You know, we live in a time where you can't put your confidence in a lot of people's word. The president says this, find out he can't do it because he's got to negotiate. The mayor says this. Your spouse says this, but they don't live up to their word. Your friends say this, but they don't live up to their word. But you can depend on his word. You can trust it. Do I have a witness? You can trust. He said, I'll be with you. Lo, I am with you. Even to the end of the world. You can trust his. He said, I'll fight your battles. He said, we don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. You can trust his word. What he said,
think it was Carrot McCall who sang that song when I first came here. God said it. I believe it. That's settled.